Welcome in. Today we're doing a re-sriff lab in Ableton Live 12, call and response, jungle slash old school DNB attitude, but with a mastering aware mindset so the bass hits heavyweight without stealing your kick and sub impact. This is intermediate level, so I'm assuming you're comfortable making a few MIDI tracks, grouping, basic EQ and compression, and you've got a kick and some kind of break running. The big theme is separation. The sub is allowed to be stable and mono, the res is allowed to be nasty and wide, and the premaster is there to gently finish, not to rescue a messy low end. First, set the vibe. Put your tempo somewhere between 165 and 172. I like 170 for this. Keep it 4/4. Now for that jungle feel. Load a subtle swing groove in the groove pool. Try something like MPC 16 swing around 57 to 59. Apply it lightly to your bass MIDI. Amount around 15 to 30%, timing maybe 60 to 80. You're not trying to make it drunken, you're trying to stop it from feeling like a spreadsheet. Quick pro move, drop an old school jungle reference onto an audio track and mute it. We'll use it for Festa and B checks later. Keep it muted most of the time, so you don't copy it unconsciously, but unmute for 10 second reality checks. Now build the structure. 3 MIDI tracks, name them SUB. Res mid, and res top if you want an optional texture layer. Select them and group them into one group called bass bus. The reason we do this early is discipline. You want control per layer, plus one place to manage sidechain and final bass glue. Let's start with the SUB layer, because weight comes first. On sub, load waveeatable. Set oscillator 1 to a sine wave. Turn unison off. No filter for now. Then set your amp envelope. Attack basically instant, but not clicky, so somewhere between 0 and 5 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 150 milliseconds. If you're going for plucks, drop sustain down. If you want held notes, keep sustain up. The key is, you do not want the sub tail trampling the next kick. Now processing for SUB. Add EQ 8, but don't high pass it by default. If you high pass your sub out of fear, you're literally deleting the impact you're trying to build. Keep it clean. If it's oddly boxy, a gentle dip around 200 to 300 can help, but usually with a sign you won't need it. Then add a saturator, very subtle. Drive 1 to 2.5 dB, soft clip on, and level match. That's important. If it sounds better only because it's louder, that's not a decision, that's a trick. Finally, add utility. Set width to 0%. Mono sub, always. Adjust gain so it feels solid but you're not clipping. Your target here is funny but true. The sub should be stable and boring. The res is the personality. The sub is the foundation. Next, the res mid. This is the movement and menace layer. On the res mid track, load waveeatable again. Start with saw waves. Osc 1 saw, osc 2 saw, detune them slightly. Add unison, maybe 2 to 4 voices. Detune around 10 to 18%. Now for the growl. Try a tiny bit of warp like FM or bend, but subtle. If you go too far, you'll get a cool sound that becomes impossible to mix in a classic rolling track. Turn on a low-pass filter, 24 dB slope. Start the cutoff somewhere between 200 and 600 Hz. We'll automate it later, so pick a starting point that feels dark and weighted. If there's filter drive available, give it a couple dB to thicken it. Now add the classic res drift. Put an LFO on fine pitch or filter cutoff. Rate very slow, like 0.10 to 0.35 Hz, and keep the amount tiny. The goal is drift, not wobble. Think unstable speaker cone, not dubstep. Now processing chain for res mid, and this is where mastering aware thinking starts. First, EQ 8, high pass it around 80 to 120 Hz. You're basically telling the res, you do not own the true low end. The sub layer does. Use a steeper slope if needed. Then check for mod around 250 to 400 and dip gently, if it clouds the kick. If it needs articulation, a small lift around 1 to 2k can help it speak on smaller systems. After EQ, add roar if you want that live 12 bite, or saturator if you want lighter grit. Start with a warm drive kind of tone. Keep the mix around 10 to 30%. If you obliterate the dynamics, you'll think it's heavier, but your limiter later will punish you and the track will feel smaller. Then add chorus ensemble for width, but keep it sensible. Amount maybe 10 to 25, rate slow. And then add utility. If you use utility's bass mono feature, set bass mono around 120 Hz. Then set overall width around 90 to 120%. And remember, width is addictive. Every time you make it wider, it feels better in headphones, until it collapses in a club. So we'll check it later in mono. Optional layer. Reese top, this is bite and old school edge, not weight. Use operator or wave eatable with something brighter, maybe some noise or a harsher table. High pass it aggressively with AQ8, somewhere around 300 to 600 HC. Then add erosion for that crunchy digital texture. Noise mode, frequency 2 to 6K, amount half a unit up to maybe 2. The top layer should be something you miss when it's muted, but you don't hear as a separate instrument when it's on. Now the fun part. The call and response riff. We're building a 2-bar loop that feels like a conversation. Pick a key like F minor or G minor. Both are staples. I'll describe it in F minor, but translate it to whatever key your tune is in. In bar 1, the call, less notes, stronger rhythm. Start with F1 held for half a bar. Then hit EB 1 for an eighth. Back to F1 for an eighth. Then a quick C2 for an eighth. Then back to F1 for an eighth. That gives you root, minor 7, and the fifth or octave energy that screams old school without getting too melodic. Bar 2 is the response. More syncopation. Maybe a little climb. Try F1 for a quarter, then G1 for an eighth. AB1 for an eighth, C2 for an eighth, BB1 for an eighth, and land back on F1 for a quarter. That response feels like it answers, but it still lives in the same world. Now, teacher tip. Vary note lengths on purpose. Some short stabs, some holds, and vary velocity slightly even on synth bass. It changes how saturation and filters react, and it can make the groove feel performed instead of programmed. Once you've got the riff, duplicate the same MIDI clip to SUB and Reese MID, and to TOP if you're using it. Then simplify the SUB if needed. If the Reese is doing a busy octave jump, the sub doesn't always need to follow every detail. The sub's job is to support the fundamental and keep the floor steady. Think, anchor, not gymnast. Next, lock it to the groove with sidechain and pocket. On the bass bus group, add a compressor and sidechain it from your kick. Ratio around 3 to 1 up to 5 to 1. Attack 5 to 15 milliseconds so you don't completely erase the bass transient. Release around 60 to 140 milliseconds and tune it to the bounce of your drums. Set the threshold so you get about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction when the kick hits. If you want a slightly different kind of punch, you can use glue compressor instead. Attack 1 to 10 ms. Release auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, soft clip on. But the goal stays the same, the kick feels louder without you pushing the master. And here's an extra jungle-aware twist. Sometimes side-chaining only from the kick is too rigid, because old-school breaks have ghost notes and accents. If your bass feels like it's fighting the break, make a drum trigger track, duplicate your kick pattern or add short-click triggers that match key break accents, and sidechain from that. You're basically making the bass breathe with the break's phrasing, not just the four on the floor idea of the kick. Now we make the call and response sound like a conversation, not just a repeated MIDI clip. We'll create mix contrast with automation, but keep it intentional. Pick one or two moves, max. First idea, automate the Reese MID filter cutoff. In the call bar, keep it a bit lower and darker. In the response bar, open it slightly and maybe add a touch more drive. Second idea, automate roar mix. Response gets 5 to 10% more. Third idea, automate stereo width, but carefully. Call around 90 to 100%, response around 110 to 120. And remember, only if your low end is controlled, because width in the low mids can hollow out the center. Now let's get mastering aware with a pre-master workflow, because this is where people usually wreck their sub. Instead of slamming devices on the master, create a new audio track called pre-master. Route your main groups, like drums, bass, music, to pre-master. Then keep the actual master clean or minimal. This helps you stay organized and keeps you from stacking random fixes on the final output. Before we'd add anything, do a quick headroom checkpoint. With your drop looping, aim for peaks around minus 6 dBFS hitting pre-master before any pre-master processing. If you can't get there without turning everything down, that's often a sign of too much low mid density, especially 150 to 350 HC in the Reese. Fix density, don't just lower volume. Now on pre-master, build a simple chain. First, EQ8 for cleanup with minimal moves. If the sub is bloated, do a tiny dip around 40 to 60 HC, 1 to 2 dB max. If it's harsh, a tiny dip somewhere in the 2 to 5K zone. The pre-master EQ is not for redesigning your mix. It's for tiny corrections. Second, glue compressor for gentle glue. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 10 ms, release auto, set threshold, so you're only getting 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on the loudest parts. Soft clip on. This is about cohesion, not loudness. Third, optional saturator, super subtle, drive half a dB to 1.5, soft clip-on, and level match again. Fourth, limiter as safety, not a crutch. Ceiling at minus 1 dB, then raise gain until you see about 1 to 3 dB reduction on peaks. If you need 6 to 8 dB of limiter reduction to feel competitive, stop, go back. That's the mix telling you something is fighting the headroom, usually low-end overhang, stereo low-end, or too much distortion-generated low-mid. Now do 3 fast calibration checks that save you hours. 1. Metering ritual. Drop spectrum on Promaster. Loop your busiest bar. In a lot of DNB, your fundamental weight lives around 45 to 70 Hz depending on key. If you see a ton of energy below 90 Hz but it feels soft, it's often phase or overhang, not enough sub. Fix release times, fix width, fix layering. 2. Low volume check. Solo kick plus sub. Turn your monitors down. If the groove is still readable quietly, you're in the right zone. If it disappears at low volume, you probably have too much tail, or the kick and sub are masking each other. 3. Mono check where it matters. Put utility at the end of bass bus and map width so you can flick it to zero. During the drop, switch to mono for 2 beats. If your bass falls out, your culprit is usually the re-scarce phase or a too wide top layer feeding low mids. The fix is often mono the lows harder, reduce chorus amount, or move motion effects higher by high passing before width. A few common mistakes to avoid while you tweak.